It is great to be back with you here today. We are in Leviticus lesson number 14, and we're going to pick up in chapter 18. Now, we didn't get through with this lesson really last week as I presented, so we have the same board up here. We're talking about the law forbidding Egyptian and Canaanite ways, and last week we talked about the forbidden worship, and we also talked about the forbidden blood. But this week, and I paused last week because this section on the forbidden relationships is a little long. And so I wanted to hold it all together, and I didn't want to go too long on this on the lessons, of course. And so today, as we pick up with the forbidden relationships, we come to those as Israel, and it's the relationships that the Lord, that is nation of Israel, is not to enter into when they enter into Canaan land and take that land for their own promised land. And because it's Leviticus, it's being given 1 year out of Egypt as it's being written. It will also pertain to life over the next 39 years until they go into the promised land. Remember, Leviticus is given after about 1 year. Well, actually, it's about 9 months after they've left at Egypt. So these are the new laws for the nation of Israel. So the people of Egypt, and if you remember the people of Canaan, as I said, because of this borderline, the Egyptians and the Canaanites were particularly close, and they were close cousins, and almost all of their customs and practices were the same. No matter what name they called them, they were the same. So I want us to open our Bibles now, if you would, to chapter 18, verse 1, as we start. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God.' So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord." First, the Lord confirms now here what I've already told you in today and in last week's lesson, that the Egyptians and the Canaanite cousins had very close things that they did, especially here when he says this, "You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt, nor what is done in the land of Canaan." Now, Egypt and Canaan lived by the same standards and morals. And today we would say the same absence of standards and morals. Because what they were doing back in those days, that's just what they did. They had no standards and morals. But our position today is from a far more complete knowledge of the desire of the Lord. For those of us who have been living under godly instruction all of our lives, we find it quite hard to stomach the thought found in much of the rest of the book of Leviticus. All these instructions, why do we need these instructions? Didn't they have morals? Didn't they have standards? We mostly see these incest relationships, regulations, and we find them very challenging for us to wade through them in our yearly reading of the Bible. In fact, some people have told me when they read through the Bible, they just skip through all this incest part. Well, we must understand that until the Exodus days, the whole world lived by the same basic standards and morals that we find so offensive. And even the Jews did, living in Egypt. As a child, I remember how horrible it was when I first heard that Adam and Eve's sons married the daughters of Adam and Eve's. They married their sisters. But being the first family on earth from which the other families would derive, where would a son get a girl to marry except if he married a sister? Because there were no other girls. I remember Abram and Sarah's issue when they went to Egypt and lied concerning their family relationship. If you remember this, they told the officials of Pharaoh that Sarah was Abram's sister instead of his wife. It was a partial truth because Sarah was Abram's wife, but Sarah was also Abram's half-sister. The two had the same father, but different mothers. We can go on through the scripture and mention many, many others, such as Isaac, who married his cousin Rebekah, and Jacob marrying two sisters. But all those ancestral ancestral relationships that allowed the world to be populated are now coming to an end with the nation of Israel immediately upon 1 year out of Egypt giving these laws inside this scripture for them. No other nation or people in the world will abide by these forbidden laws that are their new standards for Israel until the coming of the Lord and the establishment of the church out of the nation of Israel. That's when these moral laws will spread to the rest of the world. Second, the Lord says, "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord." Instead of living life in the world's way, the Lord warns Israel's people to live life in His way, according to His statutes, according to His judgments. We must remember that statutes means legal regulations, and judgments means the penalty of breaking a legal regulation. And with all of that, we enter into the statute and judgment section of this book of Leviticus. It is the last section of the book, which spans from chapter 18 through chapter 27. So in general, it is nothing but a list of the Lord's legal instruction for Israel to follow despite what all the rest of the people and all the rest of the world is doing around them. So the Lord begins with a list of statutes with a warning about repulsive abominations with blood relatives. Abominations with blood relatives. Verse 6. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. What does the Lord mean when he says uncovered nakedness? Let us go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Adam and Eve story is where we're headed. We need that story to understand the meaning here. Adam and Eve, the two of them, have eaten the forbidden fruit. And the following occurs in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Thus Adam and Eve saw their nakedness and covered their naked parts. The Genesis verse uses the word loin. We call them sexual organs. The same meaning applies over in Leviticus. Our translation uses the word blood relatives. However, the Hebrew should be translated flesh of your flesh. That's what the Hebrew word means. It means flesh of your flesh. Back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord said this, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." When a man marries a woman and they join in a marital union in the process of intercourse, the flesh of the two becomes one. Therefore, the husband and the wife are of one flesh, and all of their parents, all their siblings, and all their offspring are of the same flesh. Basically, once a man marries a wife, the families of both become one flesh, and the families become off limits to new sexual encounters. First, we see the statute for the abomination with these blood relatives. The father and the mother. The Lord begins with His instruction with the closest relationship possible of a child to a father and mother. Verse 7. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father. That is the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. A child is truly constructed from the flesh and blood of its biological father and its biological mother. And without the union of those two, that child could not be born. Biologically, it holds parts of each within inside its physical body. In these new guidelines, a child is never to mate with his father or with his mother. Okay, Now, we can look back into the book of Genesis and see where this occurred with Lot and his two daughters after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. However, when the daughters married with their father, the Lord's law that is right here was not in place. You cannot find it anywhere in the book of Genesis. It was not in place because this is the first giving of this law. This is the first time the Lord says a child cannot mate with his father and his mother. Then we come to the father and the stepmother in a relationship. Verse 8, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. Even though a child does not have a biological blood relationship with the stepmother, no sexual relationship can be had with her because she is in a sexual relationship with your blood biological father. And as your father's wife, she is now one flesh with your father. So because she's one flesh with your father, you can't have a sexual relationship with her. And what about your sisters and your stepsisters? The Lord addresses this sexual relationship and he forbids any act between the two of them. Verse 9. The nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. Your sister is of the same biological makeup as you are with your father and your mother. Therefore, your sisters cannot be taken into a sexual relationship. Neither can a stepsister because she is half of your biological makeup. Many years after giving this law, David's son Amnon sexually assaulted his half-sister Tamar. Absalom brought justice to that against Amnon's transgression and killed him for that sin. The stepsister is also addressed here. Even though she is not biologically related in flesh and blood, her mother, check the line, her mother is one flesh with your father, making your stepsister off limits to you as a sexual partner. And what about a granddaughter? We come to that next. That's a sinful sexual relationship. You can't have a sexual relationship with a granddaughter. Verse 10. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. You are now the father or mother, and the same stipulation applies to you as did with your father and your mother. You cannot enter into a sexual relationship with a granddaughter. The half-sister comes next. Her flesh and blood will only match half of yours, but she is still forbidden. Verse 11, the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Simply having your father's flesh and blood within your half-sister is enough to restrict her from a relationship with you. Then the Lord addresses aunts and uncles. Verse 12, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister. She is your mother's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. The bloodline of the aunts and uncles are the same as your father and mother. Therefore, they cannot be included in any sexual relationship. It's an abomination. The wife of your son is your daughter-in-law. She's off limits to the father. Verse 15, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Even though she's not related by blood, flesh and blood to you, she is one flesh with your biological son, which connects her and makes her out of bounds for a sexual relationship with you because your son's blood is part of your blood. Your sister-in-law will be the wife of your brother. Once again, she is not the flesh of your flesh and the blood of your blood, but she is one flesh with your brother. You cannot have a sexual relationship with her. Verse 16, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness because there's a blood relationship. Your flesh and blood are the same as your brother's flesh and blood. Flesh and blood sexual relationships are strictly forbidden in the nation of Israel. Well, let's move on to the abominations that happen with neighbors. That's where the Lord goes. So from the abomination with blood relatives, we come to the abomination with neighbors. The Lord begins with a woman and her daughter together. The Lord is no longer speaking of a wife or a mother. He has changed His words to a woman, which means it's not a wife, and her daughter, verse 17a. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter. First, a sin exists because a sexual relationship with a woman that you are not married is strictly forbidden. Second, the statute exposes a different corruption. A sexual relationship with a woman and her daughter at the same time. Neither are blood relatives, neither are married to you. Both encounters are strictly forbidden. Because He has just addressed the problem of a man entering into a sexual relationship with a woman and her daughter in an unmarried state, the Lord addresses a daughter-in-law and a granddaughter in an unholy state, verse 17b. Nor shall you take the son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. Now, did you notice the Lord changed and used this word lewdness, not your nakedness. It's lewdness. The word means lustful indulgence. When the word was first used in the English translation, it also meant a habitual lustful indulgence, indicating that the man would continually lust for a sexual encounter with a woman, a daughter, a granddaughter, or whatever. So in this, the Lord is saying, that's lewdness. That's lustful. That's wrong. Now we come to the prohibition of marrying two sisters, verse 18. You shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. This classic example of this problem is found back in the story of Jacob being married to Rachel and Leah at the same time. The book of Genesis makes it clear that the two were rivals in every way. Now, this restriction means that a man cannot be married to two sisters at the same time. If he is married to one sister and she dies, then he can marry the second sister. The verse does not condone multiple wives in this marriage. And it actually supports a monogamous marriage between one man and one woman. Well, from that, the Lord turns to something that happens with every woman every month, at least during childbearing years. Every woman has a time each month when the sexual organs clean themselves. The Lord addresses this prohibition, verse 19. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. Now, this is the second time that the Lord has given this instruction in the book of Leviticus. It is found in the instruction for the discharge of a woman's body back in chapter 15. This statute is in this verse applies to any woman to whom you are married or not. It does not matter if it's your wife or a woman, another woman that you're not married. No sexual relationship during a menstrual period. Now, a neighbor's wife is also forbidden. Verse 20. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. It's interesting the word intercourse is used in this verse. The Hebrew word is shekobeth, and it means to lie carnally. Now, the word intercourse was first used in the 1500s to explain the interaction of a conversation between different parties, a speaking conversation, not a sexual conversation. It meant to communicate to and fro. It was not used as a sexual relationship until the late 1770s. We're talking the time of George Washington and all of that. For that reason, the older English translations and versions use the word lie carnally. They both mean the same thing today. The word carnal means a sensual, immoral passion. an appetite of the flesh, carnal. A Jewish man was forbidden from having a sexual relationship with a woman he was not married. Now, the Lord comes in verse 21 to a child sacrifice to Molech, and that is strictly forbidden. You shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Molech was the name of the Canaanite fire deity over children. Molech is the ancient Ammonite name. Now remember, Ammon was the son born to Lot after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is interesting that Moabites, that's Ammon's brother, who was also born after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, to Lot, also worshiped the deity. But the Moabites did not call him Molech. They called him Chemosh. These are the Moabite and Ammonite names for the same deity. Now, we do not know the name used for this deity in the Canaanite land or the Egyptian language. However, over in Mesopotamia, back over on the Tigris-Euphrates River, he is called Nergal. Over in Syria, the same god is called Shamash. In Ibia, he is called Chemosh. They are all the names of the same deity. When we come down to this, I love what the Smith Bible Dictionary says about Molech. So let me give that to you. Fire gods appeared to have been common in all the Canaanite, Syrian, and Arab tribes who worshiped the destructive element under an outward symbol with the most inhuman rites. According to Jewish tradition, the image of Molech was of brass, hollow within, and was situated without Jerusalem. His face was that of a calf, and his hand stretched forth like a man who opens his hands to receive something of his neighbor. And they kindled it with fire, and the priest took the babe and put it into the hands of Molech, and the babe gave up the ghost. The reality is the hands would be out. The hands were positioned to where the radiation of the heat would come up those hands on that brass. It'd be hot. The babe would be laid in those hands, begin to squirm. And the hands were such that the babe would roll down into the fire, into the belly of Molech. Now we come to a man having a sexual relationship with another man. And that is forbidden. Verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Here we come to the abomination of a man having a sexual relationship with another man. The Lord's statute forbids it. The word used to describe this today is the word homosexuality. The word abomination means filth. It is not to occur. It is not to happen in the nation of Israel. Now, it's going on in the rest of the world, all around Israel, that's not paying attention to this. It will run rampant. But Israel was to be different. No homosexuality in Israel. And when the church comes forth, no homosexuality in the church. Then we come to a really thing that just is terrible. A sexual relationship with an animal is forbidden, verse 23. Also, you shall not have intercourse with an animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Now, for the word intercourse, I want you to go back. In this same chapter, we've already covered that in chapter 18, verse 20. It means to lie carnally with an animal, like you lie carnally with a human. But with an animal, it's called bestiality. And the Lord uses the word perversion. It means the alteration of something from its original course. Man was not made to have a carnal relationship with an animal. And an animal was not made to have a carnal relationship with man. So the Lord brings an end to this section of the forbidden relationships by telling and explaining that when Israel sees Canaan land, she will see the punishments of the Canaanites. And he's going to give the reason why the Lord is sending. The Canaanites have done things that is appalling to the Lord. And Israel is going to be the one who brings the punishment, even though the Lord's fighting for them. And the Canaanites are going to lose their land because of what they have done in the past. Verse 24. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things. For by all these the nation which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants. The Lord saw the evil of the Canaanites and their rejection of Him long before He delivered these laws to the nation of Israel. 620 years before giving this law, the Lord promised to Abram that his descendants were going to go into Canaan land and own Canaan land. And at that time, all the Canaanite tribes had long past offended the Lord. He had planned to destroy the Canaanites long before He destroyed the Canaanites. The Canaanites were guilty of all the forbidden worship, all the forbidden blood, and all these forbidden relationships. Everything, just like I told you, that the rest of the world did, the Canaanites were doing it. And the Lord did not want at all Israel to participate or learn any of these detestable things. So from the punishment of the Canaanites, we come to the pattern of the Canaanites. The Lord warns Israel to abstain from copying the pattern of the ways of Canaan when they take possession of the land. Verse 24. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you, so that the land will not spew you out should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nations which has been before you. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so will be cut off from all among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. The Lord took the land away from the Canaanites purposefully. And He's warning them, Israel, if you follow in the Canaanite practices, the Lord will also take you away from Israel and the land too. Sadly, we have the rest of the Bible. We know what happened. We know the end of the story. The Israelites did not destroy all the Canaanites. And the Israelites did fall away. And they did begin to follow the Canaanite way. And the Lord took the land away from Israel when He sent them into exile 880 years after He gave this law here in the book of Leviticus. He took the land away from them. Now we come to the law of the ways of life in the promised land. And I know this is a short lesson, but I want to keep it short. Because as we turn and we go into the ways of life in the promised land, we're going to do that in the next lesson. And I wanted to go through this one because it had all these sexual relationships in it. I wanted it to be a short lesson. And so we're going to leave it short. And we pray that the Lord will honor what I've said to you. And it will also be a standard by which you will also live. May the Lord bless the teaching of this word. In His holy name, amen.